as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today. And this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening on CFBX in Kamloops, or the Axe Radio Canada in Nova Scotia. We've just been picked up by that station. So now Synchronicity is officially coast to coast across Canada. So thank you so much for being a part of that. And you may also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And I'm joined today in studio by my friend Mike, who is sitting there silently away from the mic. I guess he's not going to say hi. So I thought maybe he would ask some questions, but now he's not saying anything and with a dumb look on his face. So forget that. But today's guest is David Wolf, and he holds a master's degree in nutrition and has a background in science and mechanical engineering. He's considered one of the world's top authorities on natural health, beauty, nutrition, herbalism, raw chocolate, and superfoods. And he is highly sought after health and personal success speaker. He's given over 2,000 live lectures and at different events in the past 16 years, and his experience translates to an unparalleled understanding of the delicate chemistry and hardcore mechanics of the human body and how it's affected by the modern day stressors of today's fast paced and unbalanced lifestyle, which is literally a killer to our beauty, health, and longevity. And he's going to be at the SEED event in October, speaking at that event. So welcome to the show, David.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm having the best day ever.
Yay, and you like for everyone to have the best day ever every day, right?
Absolutely.
Cool, cool. So how do you do that? How do you start off your day and make it the best day ever?
It's not easy sometimes when you're moving at a million miles an hour, but I generally try to get up, get going, drink a lot of water, and immediately get onto my exercise program, get that kind of out of the way, and then hit the blended drinks. That's usually what I do, the blended juices and drinks.
And so
that's how I kick off the day.
So you fill up your smoothie with superfoods?
Yeah, basically, I really like berries, so I use berries a lot of times as my base, and then I'll throw in a bunch of superfoods and whatever herbs that I'm playing around with at that time, like Chinese herbs, things like that, and blend that up and then get into my day, get on the computer and start right into it.
Nice. So tell us what you're going to be talking about at the SEED event. How long's your chat going to be?
Well, I think I have about an hour and a half there at the SEED event. And I was at the SEED event, by the way, that was in Calgary, which was an amazing event, shockingly good. And so Greg, the coordinator for this event, he asked me to come to Vancouver, and I was really happy to do so. I'm going to be focusing down on raw and living foods, the importance of fresh foods, and especially berries, which are, to me, are really the ideal class of foods for human consumption. And then I'm going to get into superfoods and then super herbs, which are really immunological, and that's a really amazing focus that we're going to get into at the end of my talk, is how important it is to eat for our immune system and to feed our immune system.
And so immunological, now, when I make a green smoothie, I put in this powder and I put in kale and it tastes awful. And I have to admit, I've kind of gotten out of the habit of having it because it's really a chore to have in the morning. So do you put kale and stuff in your smoothies, or what do you do to make it so that you actually want to eat it every day?
Right, so it tastes good. Well, that's what I do. I make it taste good. It has to taste good or we're not going to do it. I don't believe that suffering has anything to do with being healthy. So I don't like to suffer. Anything I'm eating, it's got to taste good. It's got to taste amazing. Now, that doesn't mean that I make everything sweet, for example, or sugary. I make everything just taste good. So for me, I try to hit all the elements of flavor, bitter, sweet, spicy, salty. All the elements have got to be there in various different drinks that I make or different recipes that I make. And that's kind of what we like. We like to have the whole picture. People are always saying to me, oh, no, people don't like bitter food. It's like, what are you talking about? People drink bitter coffee every morning. You've got to have bitter, and bitter is good for your heart. And this is something that we're just opening up more to, is like expanding our flavor profile so that we really get the full range of what's out there in flavor and texture.
Awesome. So I'm just saying to my friend here, if he has any questions, to let me know. Because he was nodding when you mentioned the bitter coffee. So now tell us the importance of, it sounds like you're saying it's really important to have a variety of different flavors, like the salty, the bitter, the sweet, I guess the sour. What other flavor profiles are there? Is that it?
Yeah, so it's bitter, spicy, sweet, salty, pungent. Mm-hmm. And so you got to have all of that. Now, that's the Chinese theory, and that's what I was trained in, was in Taoist tonic herbalism, which is a little bit different than TCM, or traditional Chinese medicine. Those two groups kind of split 200 years ago. Taoist tonic herbalism educates us about the idea that if you have bitter foods, as I mentioned, it goes to your heart. Different types of flavors go to different areas of your body. And that's the whole thing about all the five flavors, is you've got to be feeding all the elements of all the meridians, all the elements, all the organs, so that they get the type of food that they need. And when we get too focused on one class, let's just say it's sugary sweet, then we start getting an imbalance. It's like a yin imbalance, which in its very extreme form turns into cancer, because cancer is a sink for too much excess sugar in our system.
So are you talking kind of like Ayurvedic principles, or because
Ayurvedic principles, and I like Chinese medicine principles, and basically the principles of those systems, and also of European systems and African systems and South American Amazonian systems, the principles are balance, but there's a principle that comes through that we have never heard of, which is you don't just take herbs as like, you know, a garnish on the side of a dish, or herbs when you're sick. But there's a whole class of food we call the super herbs that you take as food daily that feed your immune system. And that's what all these systems have in common. And that's what we're going to be getting into at my talk at the Seed event, is really looking at, okay, which are these super herbs? Because there's anywhere from 250,000 plus herbs on this earth that humans eat. And only about 60 of them are in this category that we call the super herbs, or the tonic herbs, or the immunologically dual directional herbs. And that's where our focus has got to be. And we don't need all those 60. We can just do one or five. You know, if you did five, you're actually then feeding your immune system. That's a very important idea, because the future of cancer research, the future of almost every type of anti-aging protocol, has to do with our immune system.
So what are your favorite few herbs that you like to either put in your food or in your smoothies?
Well, I just wrote a book on one of them, which is chaga mushroom. And chaga is well known in Russia. It's a traditional folk medicine, probably the premier herb of all of Siberia. And it's a mushroom that grows on a birch tree, and it's black in color. It looks almost like a fungus, or like a disease of the birch tree. But in fact, you can eat it, and you can take it off the tree and dry it, make teas out of it. They throw it in vodka in Russia, and the alcohol soluble fraction of that mushroom has very powerful antiviral, anti-tumor, anti-metastatic properties. So that's a big one for me, is chaga mushroom. It's one of my favorites. It's also local to the Vancouver area, so it's an appropriate thing. It's local. It's the appropriate medicine. Another great local medicine is reishi mushroom, reishi is the most well-studied herb in the history of the world. So I'm just based on that, it's got to do something. I mean, I've looked at voluminous amounts of that research, and it's everything you want, right? It makes you younger, it's immunologically protective, it's helping you to detoxify your body, it's liver protective, it nourishes the cardiovascular system, it lowers blood pressure. So when you look at the whole thing, you're like, okay, whoa, let me add that in. And so we're going to educate about how to add these things in, and we're going to do that in a way that's similar to a strategy we've used to take vitamins, which is, hey, just take this every day like you take vitamins. Take this every day like you brush your teeth. Just adding it in that way.
So, David, I'm curious now, because I have heard of the red reishi mushroom, and there's actually a local guy, Red Robinson. He's a local radio personality here, and I've heard him promoting that product. But it comes in, like, capsules. So do you recommend the ones that you get at the health food store, or is it better to go out and forage for these fungi in the real world?
Well, it's you got to start with what you can understand and what makes sense to you. Now, I was cornered in a health food store years ago by a health food fanatic who's one of my best friends, but he actually at that time was really getting onto reishi mushroom and was just in my face about it. So I started with some products that I got from that health food store that he sold me, and I ended up becoming a wild reishi hunter. I've hunted reishi mushrooms in the Amazon, Central America, North America, Asia, Australia, I mean, all over Europe, all over the world now. So it started as a product I took in a health food store, like an encapsulated product, but it grew. And I like all the products that are out there. There's great encapsulated products. There's great wild products that are out there in the forest. There's tinctures that are wonderful. And I try to include all of them in my approach because each one has a little bit different of a medicine in it, actually. It's a little bit different of a fraction, and they're all good. So I try to get all parts of it.
Cool. Okay. And so you said that the shaga mushroom is in Vancouver, but what about the reishi one? You have to go far away to get that?
No, reishis are also there. Reishis, this is a crazy thing I'm going to tell you here, and this is something I found out over the years, and it's amazing. Reishi is present in every forested ecosystem on this earth, whether it's the tropics, whether it's subtropics, whether it's the temperate boreal forest of Canada, every single forested ecosystem on this earth, there's reishi mushroom there.
Cool. And so, but I can imagine that you wouldn't want to advocate for people to just go out and start picking mushrooms and putting them in their mouth. Like, people need to do their research on what they're getting, right?
Right. Well, that puts a very important distinction. And that is tree mushrooms that grow off of wood, are medicinal mushrooms.
Oh.
Of course, there's always an exception. And there's a type of tree mushroom that glows in the dark called a jack-o'-lantern that's toxic. But for the most part, all tree mushrooms are medicinal mushrooms. Now, mushrooms that grow out of the ground could be very dangerous, could kill you. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But this is so interesting to me that we never learned about this, that tree mushrooms or wood-eating mushrooms have a completely different character than mushrooms that grow out of the ground. And that's one of the ideas that I get into in my book, in Chaga, King of the Medicinal Mushrooms, as to why. Why is it that wood-eating mushrooms are so much safer for us than ground mushrooms? And not only safe, they're medicinal.
And so can you share one little tidbit of information as to why? Because now I'm really curious.
Well, one of the things that we take for granted is that wood and the whole idea of a forest and trees is doing something that absolutely cannot happen in our theory of physics, which is the wood is actually levitating. It's actually moving upwards. The tree is growing. It's fighting gravity, but there's no heat involved. There's no friction involved. So it's indicating to us that there isn't just one force at work, which is gravity, that there must be another force at work, which is levity, and that a tree concentrates levitational forces, and that's why it can stand against gravity. I mean, it's like what Newton couldn't figure out. Newton asked, why did the apple fall from the tree? Here's what he didn't ask. How in the hell did it get up there in the first place? And that's a very important question. It's actually indicating that there are forces at work in our environment that aren't gravitational, that are actually levitational. And if you study Rudolf Steiner, if you study some of the great minds of the 20th century like Victor Schauberger, you'll find out that those great philosophers believe that that levitational substance is what is in your joints. That's what's in your immune system, and it's what's in your nervous system. And the mushroom basically makes that wood available to you nutritionally, because you can't eat wood. There's no way you're going to be able to eat a piece of bark. It's not going to happen. But you can actually access those nutrients via the mushroom.
Very interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's time for a break, David, so we'll be back in just a moment. We are speaking with David Wolf. And what time are you going to be speaking at the Seed event?
I'm on first, so I'll be on, I think it's at 10. I might be, it might be 9:30, but I believe it's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. So we're speaking with David Wolf, and he is a nutritional expert. He has a master's degree in nutrition and has a background in science and mechanical engineering. And he's going to be at the SEED event on October 13th around 10 o'clock in the morning. So we will be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
Hello and welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with David Wolf. He has a master's degree in nutrition, and he's going to be speaking at the SEED event here in Vancouver on October 13th. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hey, thank you. Hi. Great to be back.
So I'm curious, where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles. In Santa Monica, Los Angeles.
Okay, wonderful. So it sounds like you've been up to Vancouver before.
Yes, I've been to Vancouver quite a lot, actually, and it's great. I love Canada, and I love Vancouver. What an amazing city, one of the great cities in the world.
Yay, nice. So now we've been talking about the mushrooms, and the chaga mushroom is native to Vancouver as well as Russia. Does it grow anywhere else special?
It grows across the entire temperate boreal forest of the northern hemisphere of the earth.
Okay.
So basically anywhere where birch trees will grow, chaga will be there.
Okay. And what does it look like? It grows on a birch tree. I don't even know what birch trees look like. They have like white bark, right?
They have kind of like a whitish bark, sometimes a yellowish or golden color, or even a silvery color. There's about five major types of birch in Canada, and they're beautiful trees, but they occasionally get this black growth on them, and that's chaga. And that growth, it continues to build up and build up and build up over the years. And it could be on that tree for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. And then one day some chaga hunter comes along and sees it and says, oh, there's a chaga on there, and breaks it off and then starts using it as medicine and food.
And so if everyone who's listening to this show starts going out and scraping all the chaga off the trees, like how long does it take for it to grow back?
Well, it can take years to grow back. Before a chaga can become sizable, it's about 7 years. And this is one of the things that people ask me all the time. They're like, well, what if everybody picks all the chaga? Well, chaga is an endophytic mushroom, which means it's inside the tree as part of the immune system of the tree. So we cannot eliminate the organism. There's no way we can actually get rid of it. We can't make the thing go extinct. That's not possible. The part that breaks out of the tree is actually what's called a herniated mycelium. It's the part that's inside the tree, and finally, there's so much growing inside the tree that kind of bursts out the side. So we're just taking some of that. Now, we always want to procure these things ethically. We don't want to pick everything that's there. A lot of times I'll be out picking chagas in the boreal forest in Canada, and I'll leave half of what I see because it's not big enough. It needs to stay there. I just get a feeling like I shouldn't pick it. So those things come into play. But like the Ministry of Resources in Ontario, for example, they just mow down birch all the time. It's a clear cut. And so there's at least 100 times more birch being cut down with shagas on it than people picking it.
Mm.
So we got to get some people in there before they just mow the birch down, because birch is a pioneer tree. It comes in where there's been a clear cut, and every now and then the ministry just says, we just clear cut that 20 years ago on the side of the highway. It's time to do it again. And boom, they'll be mowing down shagas. A lot of shagas are completely destroyed in that way. They're gone, useless to us, and we've got to get in there before that happens.
Wow. And so now, are there any companies that you know of that are selling these shaga mushrooms at the health food store if people don't want to go out and search for it?
Yeah, there's actually quite a number of chaga products that have shown up on the internet now, a lot, and a lot of them are Canada-sourced. And there's quite a lot that are available in health food stores now. And you got to look, if you go to your health food store and you ask them, do you have any medicinal mushrooms, which is a really amazing category of food for folks who live in Vancouver and the surrounding area, because that's the super herb of your local environment. And so you go out and ask, and you start with the encapsulated stuff. It's a great way to start. That's how I started. And then you ask them, okay, do you have any with shaga in it? And you'll see that some of them actually have chaga in it, which the Latin name is Inonotus obliquus. I don't know if anybody's going to remember that, but it sounds amazing, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Inonotus obliquus. What an interesting name.
And so I'm curious, what's the difference between there's a mushroom, I don't know if it's really a mushroom, but it has, you make tea out of it, and then it grows again, and you give it to, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, kombucha.
Yeah, that's the one.
Kombucha is a symbiotic grouping of organisms, some fungi and some yeast organisms and bacteria. So it's not really one organism. It's actually quite a few organisms that create a colony, and that colony drives off other organisms, and it can ferment certain substances. For example, the main ones being, from the old world, were tea and sugar. And so you would make a sweetened tea. Let's say you put in there honey or maple syrup or something like that. And then you put the mushroom grouping of organisms in there. It's called a mother. It's like a big old pancake of this organism. You throw that in there, and then you let that ferment for about 3 weeks. And the mushroom will drive up all competing organisms and then eat up the caffeine and eat up the sugar and create what's called a kombucha tea.
And that has... beneficial bacteria in it, right?
Right. It has beneficial bacteria in it, and it also has a very high amount of B vitamins as well as liver cleansing chemicals. And it's highly regarded. It's available in health food stores all across Canada. There's a number of brands that are available now, and it's a great product. It's a cool product to have with your lunch. It's like kind of a mushroom beer, but it's not really alcoholic, or it has very low alcohol, like 0.5%.
And what if you want to get like the mother? Because I heard like if you go to the health food store, they just have the beverage that's pre-made, right? They don't sell the little.
Right. They don't.
Fungi.
It's called a SCOBY, actually. It's the real technical name of it. That's the mother, or a SCOBY. And you can get those. You can either start one. Actually, if you take a kombucha that you buy in a health food store that hasn't been pasteurized, and most of them have not, you can actually start a culture from it.
Oh.
Yeah. So everyone can be used as a culture starter for a whole batch at home, and you can get on the internet and read up on how to make these at home, and it's a lot of fun. I like making kombuchas when I have the time. It's really great.
And so what's the difference between kombucha and kefir? Because I have the kefir grains, and I know that's good for probiotics, but it's not the same as kombucha.
Right. Kefir grains are all bacteria. They're all friendly bacteria, or what we call probiotics. That's the term of art. And they're great for culturing yogurts, sauerkrauts, all different kinds of kimchi, things of that nature. You can also use them to ferment coconut water. And they're a really important part of a diet. Well, if you have a history of digestive problems, they're really helpful. If you've had a long history of using antibiotics, it's a really good idea to take kefir grains and ferment them on food and then create probiotic foods. And a lot of that research now is focusing on the body ecology diet by my friend Donna Gates, which is a great book if you really are wondering how to use probiotics, how they can help your health, how they can help you overcome digestive infections, that's where you want to go, is you want to start studying her material.
Cool. So now I'm also curious, David, you have your smoothies in the morning and then you have these mushrooms. So do you just like eat them raw? Do you put them on a salad? Do you cook them? Because some people say you should eat more raw foods. What's your viewpoint on that?
Well, I'm a raw foodist. If I'm gonna eat food, it's gonna be raw. I'm basically a raw vegetarian. And if I'm gonna have mushrooms, then I'll do it in all different ways. In the winter, it's great to have a mushroom tea. So I do hot teas, and that's how I get through the winters. I am in Canada a lot of times in the winter, which is really a lot of fun. And hot chaga tea is like God's own reward. There's very few things as good as that. Once you've been on that, you don't even want anything else. That's the best thing ever.
And so does having it hot ruin any of the medicinal properties, or does it maybe bring out different ones?
Well, what it does is it's helping to bring out the polysaccharides, which is the sugars, the long chain sugars that are in these mushrooms. And that's where the magic is. It's in those polysaccharides. That's the immunological component of the mushroom. So it helps to draw it out into the tea or into the water, and then you just drink that, and it's immediately bioavailable to you. Can you eat chaga raw and just digest it? And the answer is yes, you can, but you're not going to get as many polysaccharides out of it on that one pass through your digestive tract as you would if it's been sitting in a tea for 4 hours.
Okay, so it's sort of like tomatoes. Like, a lot of people recommend eating most vegetables raw, but when you cook tomatoes, it brings out more of the nutrients.
Right. You could also say blending does that as well, or juicing. You're breaking up more, you're exposing more surface area. So you're actually making it more bioavailable. That's one of the reasons why I'm such a big fan of juicing and blending, is you're just making it more bioavailable. That's why we have cooked things in the past. That's why we would make teas with things. So we're just kind of we're locking down the science a little bit more and getting a better understanding out there to the people, so that we have a little bit more understanding in what we're doing in the kitchen. I think it gives us a little bit more intention behind what we're doing. It makes the food work better.
Thank you, David. So I'm curious, if there was one thing that people were going to start to do in our busy lives with regard to nutrition, what would be like the top most important thing that you would recommend?
I think fresh vegetable juice is a very important thing to add into your diet and lifestyle. For example, yesterday I had a beet, cucumber, lime, kale juice. That's amazing to have something like that in your diet every day. You can feel the energy. There's no calories, right? It's not going to put any weight on you, but it's just pure energy. And it's alkalinity. That's what these vegetables are. And plus, when you're dealing with like kale and beets, these have very interesting, very subtle immunological properties and liver cleansing properties. And if you do that consistently, you feel it. You feel the upgrade in your health and your vitality. Another thing I'm really big into, of course, is blending substances, like taking your berries and blending them up and creating like a berry smoothie. And then as you get a little more sophisticated, you can add some of the superfoods in there. For example, maca is a really popular superfood in Vancouver right now, which is a super root originally from the Andes. You could add some microalgae. I like chlorella a lot to the berries. So then you're getting a really good, powerful brain food and brain detoxifier with the chlorella, which is a microalgae. Again, it's a super high chlorophyll food with the berries mixed together. And then if you really want to take it to the next step, then you can start thinking about some of these super herbs. I like putting all my medicinal mushroom powders into that drink as well. I always do that. I always have like chlorella, medicinal mushroom powders of reishi and chaga, and then berries. Boom. So that's one drink for me. And that'll be basically my whole day, other than maybe having a salad and, you know, whatever else I'm going to eat that day.
So does the powder make it more bioavailable, whatever processing they do with it?
Yes, it does, because it's powdered. That's the thing about surface area. When you have to chew through something, you might break it into 100 particles. But if it's already powdered, it's in tens of thousands of particles. So the surface area is much greater. And that's one of the reasons why we benefit from the powdered superfoods that we have in our world today. They help us absorb them, and then we can build up a kind of a bank account for the future. Whereas if it's just going through on one pass, and we're trying to chew through our food to get everything out of it, it's kind of hard as a nutritionist to say that we're really going to be able to liberate a significant amount of nutrients that way, you know, based on the statistical population curve of how many people are really absorbing nutrients and how effective our digestive tract really is. It's in our world today, I think our efficiency of digestion is actually pretty low. That's why I like liquefied foods and powdered foods in there.
So I'm curious now, I was having Vega in my smoothies for a while, and sometimes I just buy whatever kind of greens powder is available at the store where I go. But then I was reading online how someone was saying how it's basically a waste of money, it's a scam, it's you're not really getting that much nutrients out of it. So what's your opinion on greens powders and berry powders?
I'm a huge fan of them, and people who say that, they basically have no experience with it. It's one of those things that's experiential. Once you do it, then you realize what these things are. You realize that they help to build not only for today and restore deficits of yesterday, but they build you up and fortify you for tomorrow. And they give you a specific density of nutrition that we're not really used to. I mean, we're basically in a mineral deficient state based on the food that we grew up with and that what we've been eating. And we're trying to make up that deficit with vitamins, which doesn't really do it. So when you have like a powdered green superfood, you're getting for example, chlorella. Chlorella is the highest chlorophyll content food on earth. It's 10% chlorophyll. The best wheatgrass juice on earth is 0.25%. So it's 40 times higher in chlorophyll. That's a medicinal dose of chlorophyll. That's going to get the chlorophyll into your blood. That's going to build your blood. It's going to build your albumin. It's going to build your red blood cells. That's a whole different level of conversation. So when people just throw stuff out like that, it's not really based on anything scientific. It's just a platitude. It's a statement that's just thrown out there, you know, to confuse people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because when I was reading, I was sort of like, because it is quite... The price of the products are fairly high, but I mean, you're using a small amount every day in your smoothie. And so I stopped using it for a while, and I was just using the like kale and stuff. And then I ended up not having the kale because the mixture that I had some flavor in it and made the kale more palatable. And then I ended up just kind of not having my daily smoothies anymore. And I definitely noticed a difference. Whatever it was that was in my smoothies was definitely contributing to more energy. It's made a huge difference in my mood. So there's definitely something to it.
Yeah, it could have been protein too. That's another thing about these powders. Like when you're dealing with spirulina or chlorella or marine phytoplankton or goji berry or maca, these are relatively high protein substances. I mean, chlorella is 65% protein, and it's a complete protein.
Hmm.
And that does affect your mood. It affects the way your body produces neurotransmitters. And that's the thing about protein that has never really been put out there in the media. It's something that we need to know. And that is protein, before it's about muscle and muscle building and any of that, and energy. Protein primarily is about neurological health. That if you have complete protein, that you actually are more neurologically balanced and more stable.
Hmm. And so now I eat low carb, so I get plenty of protein, but I can imagine that there's different qualities of the protein that you're eating, and plant protein and animal protein is not necessarily all equal, right?
That's right, exactly. And cooked protein and raw protein are not equal at all. There's a lot of research. Max Planck Institute found out that when you cook a fish, you right away lose half the protein. Gone. You cannot absorb it. It's been coagulated. It becomes unusable. So there's a huge thing going on with eating all this protein and not absorbing it. That's a huge part of what's going on. And see, the thing is, people are like, oh, you know, whatever it is, let's say chlorella. Chlorella is $13 a bag. It's too expensive, or whatever the excuse is. But then when you consider that you're eating, what, like a chicken sandwich or whatever, and that cost you $10 or $5 or whatever it was, but not absorbing it, and then the waste products that are in your body, it's really, then you start thinking, oh, wait, this chlorella maybe makes more sense, because actually it's going to give you the chlorophyll, it's going to give you the protein, and inhibit your appetite. You're not even going to be hungry, because you're going to absorb it all.
Mm. Well, I want to put the number out there in case anyone wants to ask you a question. 604-822-2487. We are speaking with David Wolf. He has a master's degree in nutrition, and he is the writer of, how many books have you written, David?
I've been written about 8 or 9 books at this point. I'm losing track. I used to wait 8 months before I read another book, and now my publisher's on me the day after it comes out. So I just got this book out this month on chaga mushroom, and now I've got to immediately write another book. So I'm working on that right now.
All right. So it's safe to say you're an expert in nutrition and superfoods. And he's going to be at the Seed event here in Vancouver on Saturday, October 13th. That's happening at the PNE Forum. And if you have a question for him, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. So if you do have a question, please do give us a call right now. I'm going to go to a break while we have time. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking again with David Wolf. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by David Wolf. He is an expert in nutrition, and he's going to be speaking at the PNE Forum at the Seed event on Saturday, October 13th. Welcome back to the show, David.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Thank you. So we've got a few minutes left in the show before Parts Unknown comes up. And Tessa had sent in some free tickets to give away, but I guess they haven't arrived yet. So hopefully everyone who's listening will tune in next week, and hopefully we'll be able to give away some tickets on the show next week to the Seed event. But I'm wondering if there's anything specific that you want to focus on for the last portion of the show.
I just love talking about any part of this. I mean, I really feel like this area of herbalism needs some attention, because we may have heard about superfoods, we may have heard about raw foods and juices, but eating for our immune system is really an important concept for the future. I see it every day, you know, in the work that I do. I see people come to me and they have this kind of infection, that kind of a thing going on, this kind of cancer, this kind of thing, whatever it is. And it's like, oh, man. And then I start talking about what their diet is. And never, ever is there anything that's immunologically nourishing in their diet. There's nothing that actually feeds the immune system. And this is kind of where we are. And we've got to break this cycle so that we don't have these little rashes, whatever it is that's irritating the hell out of us or scaring the hell out of us. We can prevent it, but we've got to start feeding our immune system.
Cool. Well, David, I'm curious. I believe it was last week, we had someone on talking about hydrotherapy, colon hydrotherapy, and I'm actually going to go in and try it. Have you, because you mentioned about absorption and our digestive system. Do you have any comments or experience with that?
I have experience with colonics. I've been literally doing colonics about 18 years now. And it's really intense the first time you go in. It's a really wild experience. But it's amazing because at some point you have to pull the plug out of the bathtub and drain everything out. And that's what a colonic is. You're just draining everything out of your whole digestive tract. And you feel amazing afterwards because you're empty. Everything's out. And it's outrageous. It's what a great experience. And it's really important for healing and health, because a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with is just stuff that's backed up. It's really constipation, ultimately.
Cool. Well, it looks like my friend Mike finally has a question for you. So go ahead, Mike.
Hi, David. I'm just wondering, it's obvious you have a lot of passion for this particular field. And I'm just wondering how you got into it and what initially interested you.
Well, I come from a family. Thanks for asking that. I come from a family of medical doctors. And I grew up in that environment, strangely, and it was a very weird thing, you know, now that I look back, because I'm not really into Western medicine so much, although in certain situations, the right thing. I'm into integrative medicine, taking the best of Western medicine, Eastern medicine, herbalism, superfoods, food, diet, nutrition, everything, and putting it all together. And so I think part of it is genetic, for sure. And then part of it is just I love public speaking. And all my whole life, I always loved public speaking. And my whole life, nutrition has been a hobby for me. You know, started with Flintstones chewable vitamins way back when, but, you know, it changed, you know, as time went on. And then when I was able to put it together, when I was 23, I realized, whoa, wait a second, I can actually do my public speaking on this subject that I've always loved, but never even thought about doing this as a career, because it just had never crossed my mind to do it as a career. And that's where it started. So that's 18 years ago, and I've been going ever since, and I've done about 2,600 live events, dinners, hosted many, many different types of amazing conferences, and that's my, you know, my love in life. That's how it all got to where I'm at today.
Cool. So I'm curious now about your. Thanks for asking that question, Mike. About your first experience with that. When did you first? Did someone ask you, or did you just decide, hey, I'm going to tell people about this?
That's funny. Somebody asked me that yesterday. Actually, what was my first event that I ever did? And it was I was living in San Diego at the time, and there was a young entrepreneur group that I was part of, and we were always showing up there, me and my cousin and my best friend, eating like avocados whole, you know, no salt on it, nothing, just eating a straight avocado, and people would just freak out totally. And so eventually somebody in the group said, why don't you go up there and tell this group about what kind of crazy diet you're on? And so I went up there in front of 100 people the next week, and I did a whole presentation for an hour. And that was my first event. That's what kicked it off.
Cool. That's really exciting. Mike, do you have any more questions?
Not specifically. I just that's really interesting, and you've definitely piqued my interest in this, and I'm going to go do all kinds of research on this now. So thank you.
Chlorella.
Definitely. Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, worth investigating. And one of the things that I like to do is just plant the seeds. So that you know, you hear it, and you're like, oh, wait, the chlorella, I heard that before. Then you hear it again, and then all of a sudden you're in a store, and you're like, oh, wait, that's it, right there, boom, and just get it and you try it out. Or you're on the internet, and you're reading up on it. And that's really cool to have that education that's behind it, to build up a little bit of that momentum and understanding, because I do believe that if you have the understanding, then you have greater energy behind it when you do eat it. You know, if you eat something with intention, it works better.
So, David, I'm curious now, the chlorella, what is the source? Where does that come from?
Well, most of the chlorellas that are grown in the world today come from Taiwan or they come from Japan. Now, I prefer the ones from Taiwan because I'm not really happy with the whole Fukushima meltdown over there and what's gone on with that. So Taiwan is very, very advanced in their nutrition research. I'm privy to a lot of what's going on in Taiwan. It's incredible what's going on there, where they are, and how many years very, very high-tech operations have been going in that country. And one of their key industries in that cutting-edge nutritional world is the chlorella industry. Chlorella is a microalgae that's present in every ocean. It's present in all rivers and creeks and streams. And there's about 16 of them that are human edible. And those have been isolated and grown in controlled environments for decades, and they've been really well researched at this point, and that's what I recommend.
Cool. And so thank you so much. And so we've talked about a couple of your immune herbs. There's the mushrooms, but what other herbs? I mean, like oregano and stuff, what kind of herbs do you recommend for?
Okay, so oregano is a great herb, and so is marjoram and thyme, and echinacea as well. But in the herbalism school that I come from, the way I was educated in Dallas Tonic Herbalism, those are really inferior herbs because you cannot take them every day, and or they are just unidirectional, which means that they'll only drive your immune system up. They don't have dual directional qualities. So, for example, let's say somebody has an autoimmune condition. They have to be very, very careful with things like echinacea because it only jacks their immune system up. But where we're dealing with like astragalus or reishi or chaga or asparagus root, those are dual directional. They drive your immune system down if you're having an overreaction, if you're having an asthma or an allergy or an autoimmune reaction. They bring that immunological response down. And that's why this, these tonic herbs or super herbs are so rare in the world. They're dual directional. They behave intelligently in your body, and they're in a kind of a higher category than oregano or thyme or marjoram, which I like all those herbs, but they're not quite on the same level.
Okay, good to know. And so, David, now I'm curious, in addition to what you've shared with us today on the air, thank you so much. It's been so educational. What are people going to learn when they go and hear your talk at the Seed event?
Well, I like to present it all in an exciting story, education type of way. It's kind of edutainment. So a lot of it's going to be fun. And that's what I like to do when I'm on stage, is just get the whole audience having a lot of fun. And again, the idea is to slip the education in underneath so nobody even knows they're getting any education at all. They're just being entertained by some crazy guy on the stage. So it's part of my deal is the live performance. It's kind of like stand-up comedy. It's surprising, and I get the audience involved, so it's entertaining as well.
Cool. And so, and then there's going to be tables and stuff. Are you going to be selling your books? Are you going to be selling any herbs or what?
Well, I'm going to be there with my books, so I'll have my books there. There's going to be a group there that's going to have all these superfood, super herb drinks available. Now, the last Seed event that we did, which was in Calgary, I think the number that the group that is going to be there, I think what they told me is they actually sold 50 gallons of these drinks at the event. So I told them, well, you better be prepared, because they sold out. They sold 50 gallons. It was gone. They could not even make any more. So I think they're prepping to do 75 to 100 gallons of these drinks and have them ready for the event. So when I get up there and I start babbling on about chaga mushroom and about raw chocolate and maca and all these crazy things, you can actually be able to drink it at that booth back there. They're going to have a booth where this stuff's going to be served.
Awesome.
And it'll all be organic, of course. Everything I'm doing is all either wildcrafted or organic. I have nothing to do with chemical farming, chemical agriculture whatsoever.
Nice. So I'm going to, I actually want to play a little bit of music before we wrap up the show and before Parts Unknown comes up next. So what, is there anything that you want to get across to listeners today that I haven't asked about?
Well, I think there's one thing that people ask me about quite a bit. It's a hobby I have that we haven't even talked about, and that is the living water revolution, the spring water revolution that's going on. There's an amazing spring in Lynn Valley, right up there in Vancouver, and that's where I get my spring water when I'm in Lynn Valley. People ask me all the time, what should I do about water? What about this water? Which kind of water? And I'm a spring water hunter. I only drink fresh spring waters from the source wherever I'm at in the world.
Hmm.
You know, so if I'm in Northern California, I'm up in the springs. I know where they are now because I've been hunting them for years. And so I wanted to put that out there, that if you are wondering about water and you're concerned about tap water or being able to take tap water and make it in any way drinkable, there's a whole other option, and that is you could go out with your glass bottles and you could go to the source of the Great Springs. And there's, again, one right there in Lynn Valley. There's one in Agassiz. I was there recently, actually, just to the east of Vancouver. And you could just get your own fresh water and drink from the source. And it's an amazing and enlightening and empowering experience.
Thank you, David. And I'm curious, though, how long does that last in the bottle?
It depends. If you can get those bottles home and you put, what I do is I get the 1 gallon glass bottles with the hook at the mouth of the container. You can get those at beer and wine shops where they teach you how to make beer and wine and ales at home. You can get those things. And then I get corks to pop in there. So if I have those bottles in corks and I can get them into my refrigerator, they'll last weeks. That water will last weeks and still be good. If you expose them to light, if they're in the sun, they're not going to last that long, because it's a living water, so it has to stay cold. It has to kind of be in a dark environment.
And so what do you mean when you say living water?
Meaning that the earth is producing a living water. It's like the blood of the earth. It's coming out of the earth. And when you drink that, it's living. It's like drinking chlorophyll. It's like drinking sap of a tree. It's living. Whereas anything that's been bottled and sitting on a shelf is a dead water, and any kind of tap water that's been driven through these right-angle pipes and driven into your home and had all these chemicals in it, well, the life force has been killed out of it. So it's just tapping into that life force energy. It's an amazing aspect of our options in the area of water, because there's many different options. The option that I choose is to drink living water from the earth, and I like to drink water the way the earth has presented it to me.
That's awesome. And Lynn Valley and Agassiz here, local to, well, almost Vancouver.
Right, yep, and there's more than that. Those are the two that I know. There's actually one on Vancouver Island. What's that, Gold? I think it's Gold Stream. That's another very good spring up there on the mountain. There's a number of really, really great springs all over because, you know, in the Pacific Northwest of North America, there's a lot of rainfall, so there's a high amount of water in the aquifers.
And so how do you know? Because a lot of times they say, you know, you shouldn't drink water from a stream because what if a bear is, like, used it as his potty just upstream?
Right, of course. So that's why you go to the source. That's why you go to the spot where it comes out of the ground. And the colder that it is and the closer you are to that source, the less likely there can be anything in it. All these years of spring water hunting all around the world, there's no giardia in spring water at the source where it comes out of the ground. It can only occur later when the water is in the stream and a goat comes by or you know, bear or whatever poops in the water. And even then, the people ask me, like, okay, what, you know, is that okay? And it's like, well, sometimes it is. If it's pure enough, clean enough, far enough away, you won't get beaver fever. But I would always choose that over tap water. Because tap water, if you really research it like I have, it's got every problem in it. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to even deal with any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say tap water is really not very good to drink at all. And I use one of those filters, the five stages that goes through all the rocks and everything. But I don't know how much difference that makes.
It makes a difference. It improves it. But notice what those filters are. They're just substances that are part of the earth.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So the way the earth filters water, which is how spring comes out, automatically has all those cartridges in it, so to speak. And so that's why I choose spring water.
Cool. And so I'm curious, do you just put your bottle like right up to where it bubbles out of the earth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you, David. What is your website if people want to get in touch with you?
You can track me down at davidwolfe.com, WOLFE.com.
Wonderful. And you're going to be in Vancouver on October 13th at the Seed event. And that is the website, I believe, is seedevent.org.
That's right.
I think, yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. It's been great. Have
All right.
Best day ever.
Take care. You too. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers.
So again, that was David Wolfe here on Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thank you so much for being with me. Coming up in just a moment is Parts Unknown. But before we close the show, I wanted to play a song by the lovely and amazing Surya Devi, because she has come on and sung this song live a few times. Every time she's on this show, I always ask her to sing this song. And she's never had a recording of it until now. She's finally done it. And it is actually available for free as a download. So if you Google Surya Devi and you find her on Facebook, she can probably send you the link, or it should be on her Facebook wall, is where I downloaded it from. So here she is, Surya Devi, on Synchronicity. He's CITR 101.9 FM. It's Order to the Chaos. I want to send my love to you. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Be well. Namaste.
to set their spirit free. But sometimes I want to hang on tight to what I've always known, rather than go out and make a life that I can call my own. Is there order to this chaos? Is there like the